Several have asked me why I'm doing the block series differently than I normally teach. And the reason why, as we go through the book of Isaiah, is that Isaiah spends a great amount of time in the early half of his book condemning and judging the nations through the power of the Lord. And it's really an overwhelming thing when you look at it to understand that systematically, nation by nation, Isaiah says the judgment of God is falling on you because you have rejected the Lord. You are not following His ways. You're not seeking after Him. And what a mind-changing thing it is to read through that first half of Isaiah and realize the depth of the depravity of our sin and how an awesome, perfect God who's morally perfect, judges our sin. Guys, we can't go along living in sin. It's what the first half of Isaiah says. And I didn't want to just march through chapter by chapter through those, but what we've done in the block series is pull out themes from each nation where there's consistency for God to say, your pride is killing you. Be careful. That's a stumbling block. Let's figure out how to take what has become a stumbling block and use it as a building block for our lives. Now, in these first 34 chapters, we do see glimpses of relief from the Lord. We see glimpses of promise and hope from God. But for the most part, those first 34 chapters are about judgment and about woe is me because I can't stand before the Lord because I'm a sinner. But we open up to chapter 35 of Isaiah and we understand something else. That just as God is just and thorough in His judgment for our sin, He is just as thorough in giving us mercy and giving us grace. Isn't that good news? Isn't that awesome news? And this same moral perfection of God that leads to destruction of nations for sin, that same moral judgment of God, that same moral perfection of God leads to mercy for those of us who have put faith in Jesus Christ. It's what Isaiah 35 is all about. Right now we can go home. I don't have to teach it to you anymore. We've been understanding blocks, and we understand that we get tripped up in our sin, and before we know it, our lives are scattered with stumbling blocks because of the way that we entertain ourselves, because of the sin that so easily befalls us. And there are times that the Lord specifically takes one of those and removes them from our life, but when we open up to Isaiah 35, here's what we're going to realize. There are times when God just wants to grab our life and flip it over on its head and say, this isn't going to make any sense to you whatsoever, any sense to the outside world whatsoever. I want you to trust me. And I'm not going to explain what tomorrow's going to bring, and I'm not going to give you a detailed ABC outline. Hang on to me, and you're going to be okay. Now, there's some of you in this room that are walking in the judgment of God, and you're walking in the pain of your sin and shame and guilt. And I know when you're walking in that way that it's difficult to see that God would have mercy and turn anything around. Let's hear and be encouraged what He says for us. Verse 1 of chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. Those are very fertile lands. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Did you get what was in those two verses? That wilderness will be transformed to glory, that desert will be transformed to majesty. Nature itself will be changed. Your environment will be changed. How does it work? How did that happen? God showed up. That's how it happened. So some of you are walking in that hellhole of life that you want to call life, right? And you're wondering, can it change? God has to show up. Let's keep going. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Isn't that good news? Yeah, I'm the only one that believes that. Isn't that good news? Yeah, man, that's good news, right? So what we've seen in four short verses is a complete transformation of nature and of man, of all things affected by sin in this world. God can transform. So God has to show up. Now, do you realize we are the body of Christ? What does that mean for you and me? That means that God is here right now. That Christ is here because we are here. We're his body. When you persecute the body, Jesus says you're persecuting him in the book of Acts. God is here with us. Some of you don't realize that. Maybe we did because of the worship service that we have. But God is here. So where God is, he's in the business of transforming things from wilderness to glory, from desert to the majesty of God. How does he do that? Well, he does it through his word. Man, he does it through the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. He does it through you. He wants you to be an encouragement to the person that's sitting next to you, to your family member. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to look to your right. I just want you to say with authority, be strong. All right, here we go. Be strong. Okay, that did not have authority with it. All right, come on. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Look to your right again. Tell him, be strong. Be strong. Look to your left. Tell them, fear not. Yes. Some of you are still hung up on strength. Fear not. All right, look to your left. Fear not. Here we go. Fear not. Church, be encouraged with these words. This is the voice of the Lord speaking through you. Be strong. Fear not. If God is in our midst, who can stand against us? If God is in our midst, what do we have to fear? We are reminders about what the Lord can do in each of our lives, each and every day. Be strong, fear not. But how do we teach to trust in the Lord? Man, that's difficult. See, if you want God to transform your life, you're going to trust in God alone. It's going to be like you clinging on to this rope for all of your life because your life depends on it. Trust in God alone. Is there anything that looks crazier to the rest of the world than trusting in God alone? No, there's nothing. Your coworkers, your neighbors are going to think you're crazy if you trust only in God alone. How do we do it? Well, how do you trust your spouse? Well, it took some time, let me tell you that much, right? And then they lost it, and then they had to build it back. How do you trust your children? Well, it took time for me to see that they could be trustworthy. I could let them out on their own. They could do things. But here's what we know with God. Since the foundations of the earth were laid, God has been trustworthy. And he has never lost it. He has always been trustworthy. He doesn't have to earn trust. It's a part of his nature, a part of who he is. So we don't wait around for God to become trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Church, we enter in to this trusting relationship with him. What does that look like for you? Some of you think that it looks like God is a drill sergeant, right? Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Jonathan, reporting for duty, sir, right? I don't think it looks like that personally. Some of you imagine God as your king and you're kneeling before your king and you're waiting for his orders and daring even to look up. I understand that picture. I think that it looks more like a dance as I've trusted in the Lord. Boy, this is a hard analogy for me to say because I can't dance, okay? I've got big, clumsy feet. My wife is a beautiful dancer and it was God's irony to put us together. But a dance where the Lord says, let me put my arms around you. Jonathan, step back with your left foot. Step over here with your right foot. This is where we turn together. This is what it's like. Oh, I stumbled. I knew you were a bad dancer when I put my arms around you. But this is what trust is. But Lord, in this situation, I don't even know that I can keep my feet moving. Then let me lift you up in my arms and spin you around, and let your joy be complete in me. Learn from him. Church, this is something that I can't show you because I have zero dance ability. But I want to invite two beautiful women up here to come and give you a picture of the dance with the Lord. Trust Him. Follow Him. Join the dance.
When this life has overwhelmed me and I feel like giving up, I will cling to all you've promised. It will always be enough. And when the world around me crumbles and it's hard to understand, I will run to you, my shelter. I am safe within your hands. You
absolutely beautiful. You know, ladies, one of the reasons I am so glad that you did the dance is that your lives are a picture of trusting in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water in the haunt of jackals. Where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Isn't that an incredible passage? Man, up is down, down is up. When we trust in the Lord, what is possible with Him? All things are possible with God. See, when we trust in God, we have the eyes. God gives us the eyes to start seeing His work take place all around us. And I wonder in your life, what do you see when you look around you? I wonder if this past week you gave God glory for the 3 inches of rain we got here in Kyle. Yeah, bless the Lord, right? Or I wonder if you complained that the thunder kept you up that night. I wonder the next 2 days when the sun was so beautiful because the atmosphere was so clean and clear, if you gave God glory for that beautiful sun. I wonder if you noticed how green the grass was and rejoiced at God's plan and God's pattern in this life. I wonder if when food is placed on the table in front of you, if you just take it for granted or if you recognize that that very food is provided by God before you that day. I wonder when you lay down in bed with your spouse, if you just try to shut your ears off, or if you recognize that God has placed that person there to refine you, to teach you about unconditional love. Or if when your kids are whining and complaining one more time again, if you just go instantly to lose it mode, or if you recognize the blessing that they are in your life. See, when we trust in God, He transforms the way that we think. That's Romans 12. He renews our mind. And I love this passage because this passage is about the work of Jesus Christ and His presence in our life transforming us. You don't believe me? That's how Jesus quoted this passage. We look in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. John the Baptist, who had preceded Jesus, was now in prison. And he's wondering, is something greater going to happen? He sends his disciples to Jesus. So when John heard in prison in chapter 11, verse 2, about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." That's Isaiah 35. John, look around you because the work of God is taking place through me, through Jesus Christ, through the Messiah. Now, what if we were to take this passage literal and spiritually meaning? All right, so many of us get really hung up on the literal meaning of this, the lame dancing and walking again. And you see that happen in Jesus' ministry, and bless the Lord, we've seen that happen in Fellowship Church over the last several years. We've seen miracles take place physically. But I think so many times we get so hung up on what is physical around us that we forget that God wants to transform us holistically, right? Body, soul, and spirit. And most of the time, that's going to be taking place from the inside out as He transforms our heart before Him. Remember when those friends brought that paralyzed man before Jesus and they had to dig through the roof of the house because there were too many people around to get him to Jesus? And they drop him down there in front of Jesus. If that's not enough to just dig a hole and drop this man down. Okay, Jesus, he's here. Do your thing. Great, I'll do it. Your sins are forgiven. And it's like he's ready to wash his hands and leave. My work is done. I've made you whole on the inside. But so you can believe, why don't you take up your mat and go and walk out of here? See, we get hung up on just what we can see and I think miss the blessing that God has for us right here. You know, at my job as a pastor, I get to do hospital visits. This church, it's a blast because the majority of hospital visits are new birth in this church, which, praise the Lord, that's where we are. But when I lived in Rockport, it was something a little bit different. You know, people were on their last leg. It was a retirement community. And a lot of times you're visiting very dire situations. And so you know, as a pastor, I'm going to step in and these people are going to need counsel. They're going to need prayer. There's going to be tears. And I absolutely love being placed in that situation. It is a joy from the Lord for me. But there is this one lady in Rockport where she was now going to the hospital about every month. The race was drawing to an end. Her life wasn't going to last much longer. She knew it. I knew it. But I would step into that hospital room and she would say, "Oh, Jonathan, the nurses just filled this jug up with ice water. Here, I'm pouring you a cup right now. Pull this chair up here. Sit next to my bed. Let me show you what I just found out in God's Word. You know, I've been reading it for 70 years, but he's just showing me something new today." And every time I'd go in, I would say, "Ann, you're the one that's laying in the bed in this hospital. I'm supposed to be ministering to you. What are you doing? I'm walking out of here the one who was blessed and the one who was healed." Because you couldn't get in the room with that woman without her Jesus just rubbing off on you. It didn't matter her physical healing. How stupid would it have been if I walked in and said, "Oh, you need physical healing"? No, I walk into the room and suddenly I'm the one that's being healed by the presence of God in you. So that's the work that God wants to accomplish in your life. It's a transformation. See, Isaiah says in verse 8 that a highway shall be there where this work of the Lord is going on, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Now, we know because Jesus says it's not about being unclean on the outside. This is talking about your heart, right? Is sin finding its throne in your heart? That's the unclean. So they're not going to pass over this highway of holiness. It shall belong to those who walk in the way. And I just want to point out that, you know, before we were called Christians, we were called the way. And that's just beautiful to me. So here is the way of holiness. People are going to walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up from it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. In fact, if you got a pen, just underline redeemed and underline ransomed. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness, and joy and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, how many of you do you love that paragraph, right? Yeah. If you love it, just say praise the Lord, okay? Praise the Lord. Man, I don't know if there's a person on this earth that wouldn't like for all of the things of this paragraph just to be true of us. All right, I want to be on the way of holiness. Now, is this something that is in our future? You bet it is. This is something that Isaiah is talking about with the ministry of Christ. This is being held in our future. But here's what we know. Man, right now, the kingdom of God is here because of the work of Christ. And it's being revealed to us. Even though we see it as through a glass that is faded, we can walk in the kingdom of God in the way of holiness right now. How do we do it? How are we transformed in that way? By trusting in Him, we walk as those who are redeemed, as those who are ransomed. That's who we are in this world. I'm redeemed. I'm ransomed. Man, we see throughout the Bible, these two words are almost interchangeable, but here's what I see as the difference. All right, those who are redeemed, you can read the book of Ruth if you really want to understand redemption. Read that book and it's amazing. Those who are redeemed have been purchased from slavery, have been purchased from what has held them captive, from that bondage. See, God redeemed Israel out of Egypt when they were in slavery. God redeemed Israel out of exile when Babylon was holding them. Hear this. God redeems you when you're held captive by your sin. I'm redeemed. Man, I walk through this world as somebody who used to be a prisoner, but God redeemed me. That's my look on this outlook on this world. Isn't that awesome? Going from work to home, I'm redeemed. Thank you, Lord. But I'm also ransomed. Ransom literally means that you've been severed from the problem that's been holding you captive. Now, I think that ransom is a little bit different because you're rescued, you're delivered. And ransom to me, it has to do with the power of the person that's holding you captive. All right, they're powerful. That's why I'm being held captive. You see, Israel was ransomed from Egypt in slavery, from mighty Egypt. Israel was ransomed from mighty Babylon that could hold them there in exile. Church, we are ransomed from sin that is powerful, so powerful that it's going to knock us on our rear end if we're not careful in walking with the Lord, so powerful that it'll make us feel like death warmed over every single day if we don't let God deal with that sin. But I don't walk around in the bondage of sin. I walk around as somebody that's been redeemed and somebody that's been ransomed from the Lord. And praise God, right? When we trust in Him, when we trust in Him, this is how we walk on the way of holiness. But the redeemed, man, hear the word of the Lord. The redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. We're not in bondage, we're rejoicing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Yes, Lord. And they shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise the Lord. And along that way, we look at each other and we say, be strong, right? We look at each other, we say, fear not. Oh yeah, that's for me too. Because the Lord is with us. Because the Lord hasn't abandoned us. Because the Lord wants to shed His mercy upon us. Behold, your God will come. He will come and He will save you. What do we do now? We trust in Him. With all of our heart. We don't lean on our own understanding. No, we walk with Him. What do we do now? We join the dance. We let Him lead us. We let Him guide us. We let Him love us in every way He can. Father, how we love You. Thank You for this morning. Thank You, God, that we are redeemed, that we are ransomed. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You will come and save us, that You are saving us through Jesus Christ. May we have a heart that trusts in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.